Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
7:44 now, joined by Archbishop Gregory Amon. Good morning, Archbishop. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. It's good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. I want to do this before we talk about Katrina. Katrina hit in 2005. Back in 2015, you wrote me a letter, and you said, I reach out to you and be more than happy to meet with you to talk about any of the issues that you may be struggling with regarding church teaching. At one point, I went on the air and said that I thought you were trying to groom me as a member of the media. I have since realized that that was wrong, and I was taught that you don't apologize in front of one person individually and not the group that you offended them with. So I apologize to you personally for that. I think you were reaching out to help me, and I wanted to personally apologize to you for that before we went on with anything about Katrina.
Well, thank you, Tommy, and I certainly accept your apology. And we've been friends for a long time, and I'm glad that we can restart that relationship. So I really appreciate your words, and please know that I accept your apology.
Good. Thank you, sir. Let's talk about the Katrina recovery. How do you go about putting together, even assessing damage? How do you even go about starting this?
It's very complicated, and I think you know that I was actually the bishop in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. during the storm. I did come back on numerous occasions to visit the people here and to see what I could do.
Here. Yeah.
I'm from here. Yeah, this is home. And I was the bishop in Austin, Texas at the time. And the people there were very generous in offering financial and prayerful support to the people here. But to put the city back together after such a tremendous event, such a horrific and traumatizing event, is no easy task. And I really think it says a lot about the people of New Orleans. You know, we say that the people of New Orleans are truly a people that can endure a lot. But I think it's another way of saying it is that the people of New Orleans are a faith-filled people. They have faith in God and faith in one another and faith in their authority, the authority of the city. And I think it's only because of that that the New Orleans area has been able to come back. And I really admire what has taken place here.
So although you are not here, you still had a lot to deal with when you were named Archbishop with as far as the recovery goes.
Very much so. When I came in 2009, it was a few years later, obviously, but we were still doing recovery. And also by that time, Archbishop Hughes had taken on the incredible task of having to close and combine parishes because of the storm. And that was a very difficult time for him. My heart really went out to him in that time. But, you know, I still hear stories about Katrina, and it seems to me the way people talk about it, Tommy, is that it's almost like it was yesterday. And I think that the number of people who were traumatized by it is unknown. But I think people today are still traumatized by their experience. You don't let go of that experience very easily. It's something that stays with you. And as I have seen things, as I've heard it talked about on the radio, and as I've seen it on television, I think people are still very much traumatized and look back on it with real pain.
There are no simple solutions to complex problems when it comes to running an archdiocese. There are financial considerations, much like a business, and I equate it to, you know, I tell small business owners sometimes you can't give it all away, because if you do, you got nothing left, and then there's nothing for tomorrow,
right.
But yet you want to take care of people's needs. Your
right.
task is not an easy one, is it?
No, it's not. It's not, and especially at this time, as we strive to take care of the needs of the diocese, and also we're trying to do our very best to care for those who have been hurt by the abuse situation. And so we want to reach out to survivors at this point, but we also have to continue the regular ministry of the church. And the ministry of the church is to reach out and to help people and to help them find God, to help them see the Lord Jesus in our midst, and to be able to worship on Sunday and to have a life of faith with God. So we're it's not an easy task, but it's one that, you know, we say my motto is God is faithful, and God will always be faithful, even in the midst of criticism and persecution.
I was mad at God for a long time. I think you got caught up in that wash. I'm going to take a break. We come back. I want to ask you, Archbishop, well, for people that question, how could God let something like Katrina happen? How could God let something like in Minnesota, Minneapolis happen at a church? I know people have questions about that. And again, there are no easy answers, but you can address that when we come back. Archbishop Gregory Amon is our guest. We're live from the Presbyter, presented by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and Louisiana State Museums, remembering Katrina, celebrating the spirit of New Orleans. We'll be right back on WWL 750. Time for traffic now. 7:55, Tommy Tucker in Jackson Square at the Presbyter. Today, WWL continues our week-long remembrance of Katrina celebration in New Orleans, presented by Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and Louisiana State Museums. Right now, we're talking with Archbishop Gregory Amon. And Archbishop, I mentioned earlier that I was mad at God for a long time. I think some people still are. They wonder how Katrina could have happened. They wonder how God could have let, and I put that in quotation marks, that horrific shooting in Minneapolis happened while these poor children were just attending Mass. I think that's a reasonable question to ask, and I think you probably get it a lot, but what would you say to that?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, and it is interesting and a very important question because it affects our daily lives. First of all, I would say that it's mystery. We don't know the mind and the heart of God. We do know that He allows nature to take its course, and that would be somewhat of an explanation for a hurricane. But when you see the number of people who lost their lives and lost all of their homes, and the families that have been broken up because of that, because they lost loved ones, it's a mystery. And so why would God do that? And I don't think God does it. He lets nature take its course. And in terms of the Minnesota situation, God does not stop evil, and that was certainly an evil situation with the person who killed those children and injured the others. And God does not take away free will, and it's that free will that enables people to do horrific things and to take the lives of other people. So to get back to the point is that it's mystery. I don't think we'll know the answer to that until we stand before God at the end of our lives. And when I stand before God at the end of my life, I'm certainly going to ask those kinds of questions, and I think God will have some answer for them at that time.
I'm just going to say thank you for letting me in, if that happens. That's all I'm going to say is thank you. Archbishop, when it comes to people that, and going back, I looked at a lot of the coverage of 20 years ago, and some of these people that were saying God was punishing New Orleans, et cetera, et cetera. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I would say that that's absolutely false. That's not the God that we know, certainly not the God that Jesus talked about. He talks about a God who cares. He talks about a God who comes to us in the midst of trial and tribulation and natural disasters. And so I don't think at all it was God's punishment on New Orleans or on anyone who was affected by this. Nature took its course, and God was with us in the midst of that and calling people to hope and to peace. And I think we see 20 years later that certainly lives of people were taken, and we still grieve that. But it's also brought us as a community to a resilience. It's also brought us closer as family and as fellow citizens.
What was going through your mind as just Greg Amon as you were watching this unfold from Austin in your native city?
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's filled with sorrow, and actually at the time my sister and her family had evacuated to Austin, and so I was getting much of it firsthand as they had evacuated. But what was going through my mind is that a city that I love, a city that I was born within and grew up as a teenager and as a young adult, my heart was broken because I saw people without homes. I saw people grieving their loved ones. And of course, when you see that image of the first responders going and putting paint on houses because they had to search them to make sure that there were no people in there, it's just a very devastating thought. So I really felt a sense of pain with the people of New Orleans. In fact, I saw a house across the street from the seminary where I had lived burning down to nothing. Mm. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, not only are houses burning, but people's hearts are burning, relationships are burning, people are drowning. It's very difficult to see that as a former person who lived in New Orleans. And I still feel that I belong to New Orleans, even though I wasn't living here at the time that I was in Texas.
Archbishop, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Tommy. It's always good to talk with you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And you bet. God bless you. And I remember listening to WWL as I was putting plywood on the house, and the Archbishop then, Archbishop Hughes, came on WWL, a public radio station, to say a prayer. When he offered a prayer, I thought, uh-oh. Then I heard Garland Robinette say, you know, before a firefight in Vietnam, you never hear the birds. They always leave. And I listened, and it was still like, you don't know what. And I thought, holy moly, here we go. And we did indeed. We'll come back and talk to Chris Rose. He was the scribe, really, that covered Katrina and the aftermath and what we all felt. WWL, the voice of cost, of course, rather. We'll talk to Chris Rose when we return here on WWL.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.